Thank you for joining us for this lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ is located at 1303 Evangel Drive, Huntsville, Alabama, 35816. It can be reached by phone at area code 256-837-8730. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we would love to have you join us for worship or Bible study. Worship service is held every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, with Bible study immediately following at 10:15. Evening services begin at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesday nights at 7.
Over the last year or so, I've really come to appreciate or understand, perhaps, that there's a major difference in the way that we as Western-minded people think compared to what an Eastern-minded person would think. And when I say Western-minded, it simply means this. We in America and in a large part of Europe, our thought process, we want everything laid out in a logical format. It has to make sense to me because all the pieces have to fit together to form an argument. And that's how I think. And it's a wonderful way of thinking. It's great. And we use it in our Bible study, particularly, I think, when we get to presenting the gospel. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to save men. Okay, well, what's the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Okay, that's wonderful. So the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus saves us. Then Paul says in 2 Thessalonians, well, you have to obey the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus in order to gain forgiveness. How do I obey the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus? Well, let's go to Romans 6. We are baptized into His death. And we use logical arguments to come to those conclusions. But an Eastern-minded person doesn't think in logical equation format. They are not worried as much about the pieces fitting together. These people think in picture form. If I were to ask any one of you, describe God to me, we would come up with terms of omnipotent, all-powerful, omnibenevolent, all-good, all-knowing. And those are accurate descriptions of God, but they're hard to picture. Whereas if I go and I ask a Jewish person, tell me about God. Well, God is my rock. He's my fortress. He's my shield. He's my father. They're worried about the relationship aspect about it. And when I look at this concept of pictures, and when I go to the Bible and I see that it was mostly a group of Jewish men who wrote these words through the inspiration of God, I can't help but think, you know, I wonder what kind of pictures it is that they're trying to paint for me when I go to the Bible. And I look at Jesus. And I think, you know, my goal and the purpose of the Bible is for God to get across, you know what? You're lost. You're sinful. I want to be in a relationship with you. And so, what is painted for us concerning Christ? And we see a lot of different things. We see that He is painted as the Prince of Peace. I can envision that. He is the shoot out of the stump of Jesse. He's the rock. But probably one of my favorite, all-time favorite pictures of Jesus comes out of His mouth. He says, I am the good shepherd. And now I have a picture of Jesus tending a flock of sheep. I am the good shepherd. Now, if I were to ask you, you know, think up of a passage for me concerning shepherds and flocks and all, I can guarantee that there's a large number of us who automatically think of one of the most comforting passages in the entire Bible. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for the sake of His name. And even though I may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And it's in this passage, particularly the first four verses, that I want us to take some time tonight to see that, to try and develop, if you will, this picture of Jesus as the shepherd. Because David gives us some wonderful, wonderful insight of what it is that the shepherd does. And how does Jesus being our shepherd relate to us in our relationship to Him? Number one, I think it's important for us to see that the shepherd provides for today. We see the phrase, He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Go one more slide, please. This, brothers and sisters, is the green pasture of Psalm 23. I don't know about you, but for me, for years, when I pictured that, and when I saw the little drawings that all the different curriculum companies have put out, I see these sheep walking around in belly-deep alfalfa. They're lying down. It's nice, wonderful green. There's this beautiful stream running right through the middle of it. And it's just the most beautiful picture out of Ireland that I've ever seen. But what we tend to forget is that David, when he writes this psalm, is not writing in Ireland. He's writing in the desert. And these shepherds call this green pastures. See, what's interesting is we look at it, especially at the time that this picture is taken, we see rocks and we see brown and gray and a really not a very pleasant surrounding. But, you know, there's something very interesting that happens at night in the desert. In the Israeli desert. There's a wind that comes out of the west and it brings in this really moist air off the Mediterranean. Yeah, Mediterranean. And this moist air, when it hits that cool air out in the desert, it condenses and it brings all this water, all these water droplets on top of the rocks and on the ground. And in the morning when you wake up, you can look at the side of that hill and it'll be green with grass that has sprung up overnight. May not be big, just little sprigs, but overnight it springs up. And the shepherds bring their flocks to this green hillside and He lets them graze in that pasture. And I heard a story of a guy who was talking to one of these shepherds one day. He said, where's the grass? And this guy explained how the water comes in. And he says, you know, let me ask you something. Why are these sheep not worried? Because there's very little grass up there. Why are they not concerned? Because they have what they need for today. God, as our shepherd, provides for us what we need for now. What we need for this very moment. Israel saw a very similar experience in Exodus chapter 16. As they're out traveling through the desert, they've just come out of Egypt, they start complaining, we don't have enough food. Moses, talk to God and get us food. And Moses says, okay, God, can you help me out? And God says, in the morning, I want you to go outside. And when they went out in the morning, they saw that there was a flaky substance, kind of like that had come on like the dew of the morning. And they tasted it, and it was sweet to the taste. It was kind of a bread. It was manna. God was giving them food in the middle of the desert. But there were instructions. God said, I want you to go out every morning, and I want you to gather one omer of manna per person in your household. You gather no more, and you gather no less. I am giving you what you need to survive today. And there were some that didn't listen. They gathered too much. They thought, you know what? This might not be here tomorrow. I better take an omer and a half. That'll give us at least a little snack on at midnight. And they woke up in the morning and it was filled with worms and it was decomposing. Because God had said, I'm giving you what you need today. Take it. Live on it. And thank me for it. And this went on, not just for a few days or a few weeks. This went on for at least 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. They depended upon God to survive day in and day out with what He gave them for that moment. But then we turn and we see Jesus in Matthew chapter 6. Very familiar passage. His Sermon on the Mount. Therefore, I tell you, don't be anxious about your life. What you will eat and what you will drink, nor about the body and what you will put on it. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into their barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them, and are you not of more value than they are? And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. But yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you? O you of little faith, therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But instead, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious itself for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Folks, I know that we need to plan for our lives and we plan for our futures, and we see passages that say, you know, that's wonderful, do that. Be prepared as best you can. But God has promised us, I will take care of you every day of your life. But I tell you, to give us more than what we simply need to survive for that day. Times may be hard. You may look around and say, how am I going to pay this bill? How am I going to afford to get this done? Where am I going to get my next meal? And we may ask that question, but if we have the trust in God as the shepherd who provides day in and day out, we will know and have the confidence that what we need to survive will be there. And perhaps it would be a good thing for us that every morning when I open up my eyes after a wonderful night of sleep, before my feet ever hit the floor, to simply look to heaven and say, God, give me what I need today and let me be content with it. There's an ancient Jewish rabbi named Akiba who said, don't worry about tomorrow's problems with today's pasture. The shepherd provides for us, and he will never fail in doing so. We must trust him to do that. But second of all, we find that the shepherd protects us. He makes the statement, he leads me beside still waters. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Some of you are saying, well, what do you mean leads me? How is lead me beside still water a sign of protection? Do you know what the number one cause of death is in the desert, at least out in the Palestinian deserts? Some people may, well, heat exhaustion, you know, heat stroke. You get too hot and you collapse there. Well, hunger or dehydration, maybe wild animals catching you. No, the number one killer of people in the desert is drowning. Drowning. There are pictures that I've got up here for you. In the desert, we find these canyons. They're called wadis. These canyons, you can see, are very, very deep. And many of them are only a few miles away from the part of Israel that gets several inches of rain a year on top of their mountains. And when inches and inches of rain comes falling down on these mountains, well, you know, the cone-shaped, so it's got to go somewhere. And it comes rushing down the side and it goes rushing out into the desert through these wadis. And you can probably see that if you happen to be down in one of these canyons when the water comes rushing down, you're not getting out. You're not getting out. Because this water comes so fast, you can't even hear it. By the time you hear it, you've got a 40-foot wall of water that's sweeping over the top of you. And when that water finishes rushing through that canyon, there are little pools that are left behind. And you can see how a sheep who's dying of thirst because it's so hot out in the desert, if he happens to wander down inside of one of these wadis, he comes across this pool of water. Oh, this is wonderful. Something to drink. Folks, that is what the Bible does not call still water. Still water is a stream or a pool that's outside of one of these canyons. Because if I go and I drink from that water, I know I'm not in the risk of being swept away by a flood. But if I get caught down in one of those wadis in the middle of rain season, that's trouble. That's imminent death. But how does a sheep know what is still water and what's not still water? They don't know. They rely on the shepherd to bring them and lead them to the point where the shepherd says, "You can drink from this pool and you will be safe. You won't die drinking out of this pool of water." And so by writing this line, I think what's happening is that David is exalting the fact that the shepherd knows the difference between what will kill his flock and what will replenish it. But he also says, "Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." In the desert, when these flocks follow along behind the shepherd, as night begins to approach, you begin to see they're no longer walking in a line. Instead, what happens is the shepherd begins to drop back into the flock. And they begin to gather around. Because sheep don't see very well at night. And so they don't know if they're walking on the edge of a canyon. They don't know if there's a lion that's creeping outside, just right outside of their flock, ready to pounce and take one of them out. So instead, what they do, they trust the shepherd. The shepherd has the weapons and the ability to be able to fend off any dangers that come. And they feel safe when they are around and in the midst of the shepherd. The rod and the staff provide the comfort to make for a peaceful night. If you would, take a look with me very quickly at the book of Micah. In Micah chapter 5, we begin reading God speaking to the prophet. He says, "Now muster your troops, O daughter of troops. Siege is laid against us. With a rod they strike the judge of Israel on the cheek. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be the ruler in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore, he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel. Verse 4. And he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. Much like in the time of Micah, mankind is in the midst of a siege. Maybe not a physical one with Assyria knocking on the door to not, to break down our walls, but it's a spiritual siege. And as the shepherd, Jesus is the strength and the defense that we need to survive. In your life, there will be times, there may be times at the present, and we can almost certainly say there have been times when Satan is throwing everything he has at us. And we don't know what to do. How am I going to stand? I have no defense of my own. And there are times when we feel like we're wandering in the desert of life, being beat down by the scorching heat, wanting nothing more than simply to have a drink of water to quench this pain that I'm enduring right now. But how do I know which pool of water is going to give me peace of mind? How do I know which path is going to help quench the thirst? Which one will result in our imminent doom? I tell you, we will live through these times because the shepherd protects us by leading us to still waters and by wielding his rod and staff when the enemy is right at hand. But finally, we see that the shepherd restores our souls. When a single shepherd is put in charge of a number of sheep, you can see that inevitably, one day one of these sheep is going to say, "Oh, that's a nice patch of grass over there." And he wanders that direction, and all of a sudden he'll look up and say, "Wait, where is everyone? I'm isolated. I'm alone." And he's terrified of the dangers that are surrounding him. And he's got two options. He can either give up and die in that state of desperation, or he can cry out for help because he knows that his shepherd is out looking for him. We see such a sheep in Luke chapter 19, story of Zacchaeus. It's a story we know well. We sing a song, "Zacchaeus was a wee little man." And Zacchaeus was a tax collector, hated by everyone around him. Some would have said he was simply an evil man because he took on this job. And he was treated as such. But he heard Jesus was coming to town, and so Zacchaeus, being small in stature, couldn't see around the crowds. He runs ahead of everyone, he climbs up in the top of the sycamore tree, and he's waiting for Jesus, the great rabbi, to come through. And when Jesus comes through, he looks at him, "Zacchaeus, come down from here. I'm going to your house today." And he gets all excited and comes down and says, "You're coming to my house? Jesus, I promise, if I have ever hurt anyone, if I've ever done wrong to anyone, I will pay it back and then some." And Jesus looks and he says, "I tell you truly, salvation has come to this household today, because the Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost." Seek and save the lost. What do you think Zacchaeus heard when Jesus made that statement? I think Jesus was using, I forget the term, so forgive me that, but it's a form of teaching in which Jesus makes a statement from one passage or a reference to an Old Testament passage that everybody would have known. These folks started from the age of 5 memorizing the Old Testament word for word. And he makes a reference, and the people listening, they hear what he says, but they also remember what comes before and after. And a lot of times that is the point that Jesus is making. If you would look with me in Ezekiel chapter 34. In Ezekiel 34, beginning around verse 1, we'll read bits and pieces of this. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves. Should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought out, and with force and harshness you have ruled over them. So they were scattered. They were scattered because there was no shepherd. And they became food for the wild beasts. But look down at verse 7. It says, you scattered my flock. The flock I put you in charge of. But look at what he says in verse 7. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of Yahweh. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my sheep have become a prey and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep. Verse 9, therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep, and I will seek them out as a shepherd seeks out his flock. When he is among his sheep, that have been scattered. So will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all the places where they have been scattered on the day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and will bring them into their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines and in the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with the good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. Verse 16, I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed. And I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. When Zacchaeus heard Jesus say, I have come to seek and save the lost, I think Zacchaeus heard, I'm still a Lamb of God. I've been told by all of my religious counselors and leaders that I have sold my soul to the devil because I'm working for Rome. But this man comes along and he says, I'm still a Lamb of God. And God wants me back. He wants to restore my soul. Folks, Jesus didn't come to condemn the world for its immorality and lawlessness, so to speak. He came to find his flock who have been scattered out among the wolves in the desert wasteland because of sin. But he came to find them and bring them home. And in finding them, he reaches out his hand and he says, come to me. Come to me, I will take you home. Put yourself in the place of a lamb who's wandered off from the flock. Are you isolated? Are you lost? Terrified of the dangers that surround you? You have two options. You can give up and allow your spirit to die in this desperate state. Or you can cry out to God. You can cry out for help for the shepherd who we know is searching for us and calling for us. He wants to restore our soul. That is His purpose. That is His desire. But how do I get to have this shepherd as my own? I know I'm lost. I know I'm out there. I'm wandering. But how do I know what shepherd to follow? I heard a story. It was a group who was taking a tour, a trek, if you will, throughout the Israeli desert. And they came upon some ancient ruins, and so they thought this would be a good place to set up camp for the night. They put all their bags down, and they go off to look at a couple of other things. When they come back about an hour or a half hour later, they find that there have been three different shepherds who have brought their flocks to this set of ruins. And they're using the ruins as a sheepfold. And so, needless to say, their things were dirty, and so they picked them up, and they hung around the area for the night. And when they got up the next morning, this guy's name is Ray. Ray said, "You know, I got to thinking, there's got to be 120 sheep inside of this fold, and they're not marked. You know, we brand our cattle to tell who they belong to, but these aren't marked. How are these shepherds ever going to figure out who is who?" He said, "About the time I was thinking this, one shepherd went about 50 yards that way, one went 50 yards that way, and one went 50 yards that way. And one by one, they just simply started calling. And one by one, those sheep heard the voice of their shepherd. And they began to divide themselves up, each sheep going to his own shepherd." Right? So the amazing thing is that all these sheep spoke Arabic. But folks, Jesus said in John chapter 10, verses 27 through 30, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." You know, sometimes I think we picture Jesus as being like a shadow. He's right up next to us. He's following and He's watching our every move, looking over your shoulder saying, "Don't you do that. What was that? What did I hear you say?" We picture Him waiting to catch us in doing something wrong. But I'm not so sure that that's the picture that the Bible paints of Jesus. Yes, He is with us all the time. I understand that. But I don't think He's looking over our shoulder, waiting on us to do something wrong, so He can say, "Ha, see, you are sinful." Jesus is the shepherd who stands right over here. And He says, come to me. Follow me. I'm over here. If you want green pastures, come with me. If you want still waters to quench your thirst when it's hot and dry outside, if you want protection from the night and from the enemy surrounding, come follow me. Because He's calling us, folks, day in and day out. He's calling us. And if we're looking for the shepherd, we will hear His voice. And we will follow Him. And so if you want a relationship with the shepherd, but you don't have it, why not obey the gospel by repenting of your sins, confessing your belief in Him, and putting Him on in baptism I told you before that the pictures are painted to emphasize the relationship. This begins that relationship with your shepherd to obey the gospel. But if you are a sheep who has wandered away from the flock, if you're lost and isolated and terrified, why not just simply call out to the shepherd? He's looking for you. He's waiting on you to call out, and he will come to you. He'll stretch out his hand and say, "Here, come home." And he'll take you home. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hands. And I and the Father are one." If you have any need to come back home to God and answer the call of the shepherd, we invite you to do so right now as we stand and sing.
We hope you've enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to you by the West Huntsville Church of Christ. If you would like to continue your study of God's Word with a Bible correspondence course, please contact the church office at area code 256-837-8730.